Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I'm joined in the studio by Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl, husband and wife filmmaking team whose 2008 film Trouble the Water about Hurricane Katrina was nominated for an Oscar. Remember that one? Last week, a story by The New Yorker's Jane Mayer chronicled how Lesson and Diehl's new film, Citizen Coke, lost funding after pressure was applied on PBS and the film's production company by David Koch, the billionaire, industrialist, philanthropist, and major donor to conservative causes. Let's talk about it. Tia Lesson, Carl Diehl, co-directors of Citizen Coke, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having us on.
And before we get to the funding controversy described in the New Yorker piece, describe the film itself, because I think we'll then be able to make a pivot from a film about the outsized influence of money on politics to the perhaps ironic moment in which the money for your film fell through, apparently for political reasons. But start with the documentary. It's not just about the Kochs, right?
Oh, by no means. Citizen Coke is a film about the impact that the Citizens United Supreme Court decision had on elections. But we wanted to look at the impact that it was going to have. It's a very fresh decision, January 2010. We went to Wisconsin and spent about 2 years there during the political upheaval over the last – I mean from 2011 to the end of 2012. And we thought it 'd be a good way to look at the impact there, first of all, because it was one of the first statewide elections in the aftermath of the Supreme Court's decision. And also there was a really robust debate happening there on the ground. And it involved not just the usual suspects. It involved lifelong Republicans. And so we spent a good deal of that time with three lifelong, staunch, loyal Republicans who have seen what money has done in eroding the values that they hold so dear.
And we're going to play a clip that reflects that. When you visited Wisconsin, you profiled several state residents, and let's listen to one of them in the category that you just described. Here's a clip from the film Citizen Coke. This is Mary Jo Cabot being interviewed on her farm.
I don't want big money from out of state with a slick ad influencing me. I consider myself a fairly intelligent human being, and I can figure things out for myself. I always thought the Republican Party was the party of the people, the common man. And that's what I am. And that's why I voted Republican. I don't think the Republican Party represents what it used to represent.
Okay, so that's one Republican not happy with outside money like that of the Koch brothers coming in to influence the Wisconsin debate over collective bargaining for public sector workers. But whenever we discuss super PAC spending on this show, we inevitably get the response that unions have been taking advantage of this 501c status for years. There was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal just today making that argument. So here's another clip from the film, this from a Tea Party Express rally. This is Tim Phillips, president of Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch-funded super PAC.
The days of the liberals, of the left, having this massive infrastructure that overwhelms us are over. It's a new day. We're saying to every governor and every state legislator, if you do the right thing, we got your back. We'll be there for you. We'll deliver the message with you. We'll knock on doors and make those phone calls. Frankly, we'll raise the money, and it takes a lot of it, but we'll raise it, and we'll put up TV ads and radio ads. We've got your back.
So, Carl and Tia, what do you make of this argument that groups like Americans for Prosperity are simply fighting the unions at their own game, as Tim Phillips would have it, or at least that both sides do this?
Well, what we discovered, what we came to find in Wisconsin was that Scott Walker's attacks on public employee unions were actually attacks on the political spenders of his opponents. And so, you know, they were actually trying to undermine union spending as a strategy, not as a fiscal issue, not as a way to curtail wages and pensions. And that just seems improper.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference, Brian, between the way that this money gets deployed. I think everybody knows what it is that the unions are looking for, and the unions are fairly transparent about who they are and who they represent, and they are spending money of their members. And with organizations like Americans for Prosperity, they don't – they're not required to disclose who their donors are, who their corporate donors are, and the amounts that they're given. So it's really hard to see when they're spending money to tell somebody to vote for Scott Walker, on whose behalf are they doing that? And so this is a result of one of the many loopholes that are created by the Citizens United decision, where in states like Wisconsin, they've just stopped enforcing their disclosure laws.
You told Gothamist you're interested in how wealthy individuals wield power over the American political system. That's a general principle kind of statement. But your film focuses on the Kochs and other conservatives. Do you have the same issues with, say, George Soros, or is it that you're anti-conservative?
No, we're not anti-conservative. We're actually – we're independents, political independents. We're not Republicans or Democrats. The fight in Wisconsin, we chose to go into the fight in Wisconsin because as documentary filmmakers, you go to where the action is. And we saw a real, real compelling political drama unfolding right before our eyes. And we looked at what the unions were doing there, and that's depicted very clearly in the film and in the story. It happens that in this particular case, the money was coming from the right. Most of the money was coming in from the right. And I would just say to make a distinction, Brian, it's very important. Whenever you talk about Citizens United, you're talking about a case that was conceived of as a strategy of the far political right in this country.
That the group Citizens United itself.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
That went to court to try to do that. On the other hand, if you look at the national level, when all was said and done, the wide open world of super PACs helped lead to the reelection of Barack Obama, virtually the same balance of power in the House as we had before in the Senate. So maybe we're overstating its impact.
Well, look, money doesn't only determine who wins or loses. It actually determines the very conversation that we're having. I mean, this money has shaped the message that we're now – the public policy that's being made is impacted by this money, no matter how you slice it.
So, and my guests are Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl, husband and wife filmmaking team, whose 2008 film, Trouble the Water, about Hurricane Katrina, was nominated for an Oscar. And last week, a story by The New Yorker's Jane Mayer chronicled how Lesson and Diehl's new film, Citizen Coke, lost funding after pressure was applied on PBS and the film's production company by David Koch, the billionaire industrialist and funder of conservative causes. So to connect the conversation we've been having to the controversy over your losing public television funding for the film, by way of background, David Koch once sat on the board of Channel 13 here in New York. Jane Mayer in The New Yorker claims that he threatened and eventually did withhold a major donation. In fact, he resigned from the board after a previous film that was critical of him aired. And I guess he must have known that this, your film, was in the pipeline.
Well, we don't actually know that he knew that. What we do know, and what we learned, you know, from Jane Mayer's very carefully investigated piece, is that, you know, WNET was anticipating this very large donation, additional donation from David Koch, who was at that time a trustee and board member. And WNET then came very hard down on the little unit of public television that funds independent documentary filmmakers like us.
Called ITVS.
That's right.
Which stands for?
Independent Television Service. And they not only fund independent documentary film, they curate a national televised series called Independent Lens. And that was the series that this previous film had aired on, and that was a series that our film was slated to appear on in the fall of next year.
And what did Independent Lens say to you, or ITVS?
Well, they had commissioned the film last spring. Everything was great. They were very excited about the work samples that we were bringing to them and the storyline that we presented. And we even got into Sundance with the film. But shortly after this other film aired, and apparently this pressure was applied by WNET, they started making very unreasonable demands on us. They asked us to remove the name Koch from the title of our film. And they threatened to pull the funding if we didn't do that. And they also essentially asked us to de-emphasize the role of David and Charles Koch in our film.
Now, we asked WNET for a comment, knowing that you were coming on today, and they gave us a statement that said WNET had no role in the ITVS decision about the film Citizen Koch, As an independent member station of PBS, WNET carries ITVS programming, including its series Independent Lens, but WNET does not make decisions about funding or distribution of the series. We are not consulted and have no voice in any ITVS decisions.
But Neil Shapiro, the head of WNET, admitted to Jane Mayer in this New Yorker piece that he threatened ITVS, he threatened to pull WNET out of the Independent Lens series. And it was because of that threat and the environment that that threat created over at ITVS that they pulled our funding.
Did you reach out to Jane Mayer after the funding for the film fell through and after her New Yorker piece hit?
Yeah. Jane Mayer is somebody whose work so many of us know and I think admire.
I should say before the New Yorker. Did you contribute to the creation of her New Yorker piece, really?
Well, we participated in the piece. We answered all of her questions truthfully. And she's somebody whose work we've admired and who we've known and who we've spoken with on the phone.
And we knew that there was more to the story than ITVS was telling us. And, you know, we knew some of the details. We
and
suspected
ITVS
others.
Says that you guys changed, that you had originally proposed a film called Citizen Corp for Corporation. And I guess somebody at Sundance suggested that that was dry and you maybe should change it to Citizen Coke or something like that to personalize it. And ITVS said, hey, well, this is supposed to be a film about a general idea and not targeting an individual, something to that effect.
Well, actually, no. Citizen Corp was the working title. It wasn't the final title of the film. And as we were heading to Sundance, we had to come up with a final title. And we decided that Citizen Corp wasn't the best title because people were mispronouncing it. And the website wasn't available to us. And for all sorts of reasons, we wanted to, you know, change the name. And look, there could have been a 10 or 15 different titles for this film. We settled on Citizen Coke. And we were, frankly, when they asked us to change the title, we weren't dismissive of that request. But when it became clear that they were asking us to change the title because of the political funder, of this high-dollar donor to WNET, we thought that that was really improper.
In the film, from what I've read, you call the Koch brothers two billionaire extremists. And they obviously hold conservative and libertarian views. But if I've got that quote right, can they do that without being tarred as extremist? And is that the kind of pejorative that may have taken it out of PBS standards?
Well, there are two parts to that question. They are not described as billionaire extremists.
They are not.
In the film. And
yes.
Just to be very clear, and
right.
This also speaks to your previous question, in a pitch reel, you know, when you're trying to get funding for a documentary film, you work with the material you have. And public television actually came into this process very late. And we presented a 6.5-minute reel to them to give them an idea of who our characters were, who were already cast, and what the style of the film was. And in that, we had a card that identified David and Charles Koch, as you have described.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how they are identified in the actual film, but it shows you that they were aware that of the presence of the Kochs in the film and their role as the way that they deploy money so creatively in the political process to achieve certain ideological ends. That said, your question is, can they participate? Do we object to their politics? Is that your question?
Well, with the language of calling somebody extremist, but you say you don't do it in the film, be the kind of thing regarding people who are in what the Republicans would probably consider the mainstream of their party. Is that the kind of language that you want in a PBS documentary?
Well, our documentary actually is quite balanced, and the guiding voices in our film, people like Trevor Potter, who was the Republican head of the FEC, people like Buddy Romer, who was the former congressman and Republican governor from Louisiana, those are the people that are the most critical of the deployment of money in our political system. We also, as Carl said, focus on the ground with these voices, you know, in the heartland. So actually, you know, this is a transpartisan issue. This is not a partisan film. People from all, you know, political stripes are objecting to the money that corporate interests and wealthy individuals are spending in our democracy. And I think it's really a question of the 1% versus the rest of us.
There's one other piece of news that I want to get in. There are now indications that Koch Industries wants to buy a controlling stake in the Tribune Company newspapers, which includes the L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, several newspapers in key swing states. Do you see this as a shift in strategy for the Koch brothers? In general, do you think that's related to why he may have been on the PBS board or Channel 13 board in the first place, as opposed to support public television?
Well, look, we don't know what his motivation is in supporting public television. We know what the results of his money and his deployment of money in public television are, and that is that they're silencing our voices as filmmakers, but also the voices of the characters in our film, the Mari Jo, who you just heard from. I can't tell you why he's, you know, making these kinds of contributions,
yeah.
and why he would be interested in a not very profitable newspaper chain. But it's clear that through their political organizing and their advocacy, they are interested in influencing public policy and public opinion.
Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl, their new film, Citizen Coke, will apparently not be shown on public television. Is there any place people can see it?
People want to go to citizencoke.com and sign up there for updates. We will definitely let you know, Brian, and we'll let them know when they can see it, because we're going to get this film seen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Trailer on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.